We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
With all due respect, I am Andrew McCutchen. McCutchen and Derek Shelton trying to downplay where the Pirates are at right now, don't want to get ahead of themselves, don't want to put the cart before the horse. So allow me to do so. This would be a first in baseball history. The A's are trying to do something we've never seen before, finish with 130 losses, 131 to be exact, at their current pace. No team in baseball history has lost 100 games and then won its division the next year. The Twins in 2017 lost 100 and then made the playoffs as the wild card. Pirates are in position right now to have, in one way, the biggest one-season turnaround ever. So I said to you earlier, are you into the 2023 Pirates like those playoff teams from 13, 14, 15? You bet your ass I am. Because why not? I mean, what else is there for me to focus my attention on right now?
Sports-wise?
Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup final, French Open,
NBA
college baseball.
Finals.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Live and PGA Tour, you have a ton of live takes that I know Pomp will be excited for.
All that's fine, but
You're a baseball man through and through. Well, you've always been a baseball man.
Yeah, but I also feel that when you've got a team that's in first place, and it's now the third month of the season, they should get that kind of attention from sports fans in this town.
I think baseball commands, though, its own, like, it's the sport, even though the season is so long, paradoxically, a team like the Pirates being in first place today, like they are, even though it's only by a half game, by a quirk of the schedule that the games aren't evened up, I don't know why it always feels like in baseball that gets a lot of extra play. Like, people seize on that the way you're seizing on it right now. And I think the tack I take is the exact opposite, man. It is a long road to go for them. And they still have a chance with the schedule in front of them right now to make even more hay. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could flirt with a double-digit winning streak if they handle their business here. But, man, my thought is, like, dude, we just started the marathon here. We're 10K into the marathon, and there's a long road to hoe.
That's not just starting, though.
I mean, you got 20 miles left if you're 10K into a marathon.
Yeah, but you're closer to the halfway point than you are the beginning.
They're a third plus of the way through.
Right.
There's two-thirds left, though, almost. Like, there's 60% of the season left.
Yeah, but if this were a football game, you'd be closer to halftime than the opening kickoff.
Yeah, but how many...
And then you have a sense for what's going to happen in the game.
Okay, so if the Steelers, just for argument's sake, were playing the Chiefs in a playoff game and say there were 4 minutes left before the end of the first half...
And they were leading them?
And they were up, like, 17-14...
You start to get excited.
I would not. Oh, God, I would not.
You might have turned that game on thinking they were going to get blown out. I mean, that's the way I look at the Pirates season. The season started, and the expectations were, you know, if they win 73 or 74 games, that would be awesome. That would be great if they can make incremental steps, if they can just show that they're not rotten like the Oakland A's are tonight, that we're going to see a team that makes, you know, you can start to believe and think, hey, maybe eventually this team will be good a couple of years from now. It's happening. It's happening now. It's a perfect storm. They're better than we thought. And the division is worse than we thought. So there is potential there for a great story, for a great ride. And I'm not going to, like, cheat myself out of the ride because maybe the odds are it still doesn't end well.
I'm enjoying the ride, but not in the same way that I previously did, I guess, is my bottom line. The 2013 ride was just, I can't believe this is finally happening. Like, there was a point in the season where I knew that team was just good. There were no caveats. There was no doubt. I remember vividly, they got to 81 wins and then lost like four in a row. And it, we were joke. People would joke like, "Oh, what if they lose every single game the rest of the way?" But you knew that they were so much better than that, that it was a matter of time, and you were really just seeing how, could they get to 90? Were they going to get over 90, etc.? This team hasn't gotten there yet, for me, and I am maybe a victim of how truly awful May was. Where if they didn't have Mitch Keller, they would have won like 4 or 5 games that month, which is basically Oakland A's baseball. I'm a victim of that still. I'm waiting for the other shoe, Pony.
So here are what some listeners said to the question, what will it take for you to buy in to the Pirates like you did those playoff teams in 13, 14, and 15? Chuck writes, I'll be impressed if they're in first by the All-Star break. This division is very winnable this year. Problem is the starting rotation. That's their major weakness. No, it's not. Chuck, they have an ace, a legit number one. I think their starting pitcher ERA is in the top 5 in the National League, and their overall team ERA, I think, is 3rd behind Atlanta and San Diego.
It is 3rd, 392.
Okay, 15-team league, you're 3rd.
Mm-hmm. And the
you're in the upper quartile of your league.
Yeah, they pitch the ball really well. I mean, that's the bottom line. They pitch it really well, and that's what's carried them through this.
Greg writes, how about you buy at the deadline, also draft Dylan Cruz?
Yes, they better not draft. What is it said, Skeens, the other guy?
Yes.
Yeah, don't draft Skeens, whose arm is actively being turned into pasta as we speak.
I know, but I'm not going to let that. If they draft the guy who's labeled the next Justin Verlander, and you view it as a mistake, and the Pirates still have a winning record when that draft pick gets made in July, that's not going to put a damper on the rest of the season.
It's going to absolutely enrage me, because I think Cruz is a way better
enrage?
Prospect. Yes.
How many
complete
games of the LSU Tigers have you watched this
year?
I don't
care. I'll rage. I've seen enough and read enough of Dylan Cruz to feel like that guy is the obvious choice.
So what are your expectations for Dylan Cruz? If Skeens is a guy that is projected as Justin Verlander, what's Cruz's projections? Mike Trout?
Somewhere between best version of McCutcheon and Trout, I think, is what people are actually saying. Yeah. Like MVP.
Best case scenario,
MVP
Dylan Cruz is the next Mike
An
Trout.
MVP, no, somewhere between McCutcheon and Trout. Like, but MVP candidacy type of guy. Like true just hitting savant monster in the middle of your lineup who also can play really good outfield.
Bob writes in, be in first place at the All-Star break, add some depth at the trade deadline, call up one of the prospect catchers this month.
Andy Rodriguez, I think, is going to be on this team by this weekend.
Well, what?
I think there's a chance Andy Rodriguez could be on the team by, like, Saturday or Sunday. If you calculate the way Super 2 went last year, I think there's a chance.
Well, if they wanted to, they could call him up today because the Reds just called up their top prospect, and they're not doing that because they're willy-nilly with
Super 2.
Super 2. They're thinking the same way the Pirates are. So if they thought it was safe to call the guy up, I don't know about that. You should have, oh my God, when I was driving into the sports call last night, you should have heard Zane Grilly's speech about Hedges.
Oh no.
You guys are out of your mind. He's hitting 170. Who cares? This is what he's paid to do. He handles a pitching staff. He's a look at what the plays he made in the game tonight. They're getting their money's worth and then some with
Hedges. Look at the plays he made. He gave the Athletics their first run with a bad catcher's interference. Did that play not happen, Dan?
Caller made that point, and Dan just absolutely shot it down.
It's a factual point.
It was like cheating at Duck Hunt, where you put the actual gun right against the TV screen.
How did he shoot it down?
He said, you're going to bring up something that happened early in the game. Look what he did when it mattered. Got a big hit. Made that great play to throw out Diaz.
The throw was good. The tag was better.
With Holderman, kept some balls in front of him that didn't allow for
That's
runners Bob's to move up.
Bob standard catching. A ball in the dirt, a catcher is supposed to block it.
Getting their money and then some with the guy.
They only paid him $5 million. That's not big money, despite what some would have you believe.
They signed him knowing that he was going to hit like bleep. This is exactly
Dan
what they expected.
Dan also wants Skeens to be their pick, so. And he put that out on Twitter and got pretty roasted for it.
Man, people on Twitter have that kind of strong opinion on college baseball players that they have never seen play before.
I'm pretty sure people have now seen Cruz because they've read all these stories about how he's a generational prospect, and now they've seen his team on ESPN a bunch and watched him hit dingers.
I told you, I'm buying into this team like I did the 13 through 15 teams, and I have not done that yet. other than, I guess, highlights
said,
on Twitter and stuff.
And you said you love the people who are hardcore enough to be bringing up prospects.
I do.
The guy who was mad at us about bringing up a Phillies pitching prospect yesterday.
Rocky says, how do I get into this team like those teams? Start by getting rid of the catcher that is hitting sub-500 and plays 90% of the games.
I guess he wasn't
the
guy.
He should call into Dan's show.
Was that Rocky Cap on Twitter?
Rock Sauce. Aaron writes, and after the 92 NLCS, I just can't. That bleep just crushed my spirit.
For 30-plus years?
Last time I really followed baseball, that was my first love. Aaron, it sounds like it was your only love, my man.
That's like if you break up with a girl when you're 18 and then you're 48 and you say, well, I've never dated again. I'm sorry.
Ryan writes, need a big arm in the rotation. You've got one of the biggest arms in the entire league.
I know Keller's like last couple starts, he's merely looked like a mortal. Like he's given up legitimate amounts of earned runs. And yet he's still been nails, striking out a ton of dudes, pitching pretty well.
A lot of the responses basically are, wake me up when we get to the halfway point of the season.
Okay.
Which you're missing a lot of potentially fun baseball if you just tune out.
I don't think people are saying, wake me up. I think they're saying they are enjoying it now, but they will enjoy it in a much more serious, hey, this can actually happen way if the All-Star break gets here and the Pirates are 4 games clear of the division or something. Like, if they get through after this easy part of the schedule, let's say they handle their business over the next 5, Pony, really quick here, really fast, and go 4-1, 8-1 homestand, lose 1 to the Mets. And then when they have those Milwaukee games, Chicago games, they're winning series or maybe even sweeping and making more distance between them and the Brewers, then I think people will start to take it seriously. And they should, because they're beating division opponents that are chasing them.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Pirates and A's in about 90 minutes. Dan is an A's fan who lives in Pittsburgh. Why, you might ask? His favorite movie as a kid was Moneyball. He watched that movie, and it made him an A's fan. Now, when did that movie come out?
2000.
I thought it was like 2011.
Yeah, I thought 11 in my head.
So 2011. Yeah. Let's say Dan watches that movie when he's 12 years old.
Okay.
So that would mean he was born in 99. Around 2000, he watches that movie before the Pirates have their 3 consecutive playoff years. So he gets hooked on the A's right before the Pirates blow up and get good. A's have some decent years, but never win a playoff series. And now they're the worst team in baseball and maybe the worst team in baseball history, all because he liked a movie with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill in it.
That is a weird reason to stay with it, with a team.
But I must confess, I think it's a good enough movie where if an impressionable Andrew Filippone were born around that time, I could have seen something like that happening to me.
Question.
Yes.
Based on that. If an impressionable Andrew Filippone were born around that time, might you also not have just rooted for the A's, but after a certain scene wanted to become a baseball scout? Because I imagine you watching that scouting scene at 12 years old thinking, this is the single coolest thing that's ever happened.
Name me a baseball movie that is better than Moneyball.
Major League.
Unequivocally?
Yeah, I think so. I'll take baseball comedy that tugs at my heartstrings. When Jake Taylor's hauling ass down the line.
Those are my top two.
But I mean, the rest of them are all dumb. Rookie of the year. Oh, his arm's all messed up.
I wouldn't say they're all dumb.
Sandlot's way overrated. Way overrated. Money.
And what? Wait a minute. In what ways?
Oh, just every kid. Oh, Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Oh, the whatever.
It's,
a, the stupid
it's meant
dog's
to be
name.
A sappy, feel good movie.
Yeah, it's a coming of age movie. I hate coming of age movies.
And then at the end, we find out the best this guy could do is be a pinch runner.
Benny the Jet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually like that part of the movie. I think
why,
that's
realistic.
I think it's a realistic spin on it. He didn't go and turn into.
The best player ever.
He just became
famer.
A pinch runner.
The most realistic ending to any kind
of
movie.
Billy Hamilton.
Is an 8 Mile where Eminem wins the rap battle, then goes back to the sheet metal plant and just keeps working. I always like that. But no, I hate coming of age movies.
The whole point of Rookie of the Year is when you're a kid, you watch it and love it, and then you have to wait another 25, 30 years to watch it with your kid and then share that experience with them, and then you fall back in love with the movie all over again.
See, the problem is I can't even watch movies with Lennox because he would want to watch Jurassic Park.
Give it another 5 years.
He'll be terrified still.
I don't think Rookie of the Year is just stupid, but I don't think that Sandlot, it has its place, but I'm not putting it in the same hallowed grounds or the same hallowed breath as
Field of Dreams. How about that one? Throw that ball that movie up and put it in the trash where it belongs.
Why?
Horrible.
Horrible?
A catch. Let's have a catch, Dad. We're big losers that talk like no one else talks.
You know, if you can't appreciate a movie where a son comes to grips with his complicated relationship with his father, well, then shame on you. Screw off. That whole movie is about trying to figure out relationship with my father and our
baseball.
Ups and downs. Yes.
Well, given
that's the conduit to the whole thing.
Given my dad's interests, I guess that movie for me would be Oliver Stone's JFK.
All right, so you're telling me Major League, and that's...
I think it's Major League 1, Moneyball 2, and then you can have the rest of them, Bull Durham, whatever.
I think I'm discovering that you just don't like baseball movies.
I like those two. Major League 2 is actually not bad. It might be number 3 on my list.
Major League 2 is maybe a 2 out of 10, and Bull Durham is a 7 or 8. I don't even think that those two movies are at all comparable. And you're saying Major League 2 is better? Bull Durham... I could do without the Susan Sarandon sex symbol stuff. She never really did it for me that way. But overall, you take out the scene where they're having sex on the breakfast kitchen table, I think you got a pretty good movie. You got Lelouch putting on lingerie to get out of
it's fine.
Whatever funk he had. He's getting taught not to punch somebody out with his pitching hand.
What's the one, Eight Men Out, about the Black Sox?
Seen it a couple of times, does not have repeat watchable qualities for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just...
How about...
Boxing makes the best sports movies, and I don't know if baseball really qualifies.
How about... 42, which the Jackie Robinson story.
It.
Never saw it?
Never saw the Maris, 61 with the asterisk or whatever. Never saw... Oh, what was that movie with Jimmy Fallon, Fever Pitch? Thank you, but no.
Oh, that is a crappy movie.
Right. So, I mean, they've made a lot of dogs. It's the 2023 Oakland A's of baseball movies. It sucks.
Donnie, you kind of like the Red Sox. Did you like Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon?
I don't mind it.
I think it's fun.
What's the one
it.
With Freddie Prince Jr. and he's in the
Summer
Cape
Catch.
Cod Summer League?
Summer
like,
Catch.
That one's better.
Who's in that? Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Nope.
That's his real life wife, isn't it?
Jessica Biel.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe I have to check that one out.
Get a rain pool scene with her. When I was 16 years old,
Mrs. Justin Timberlake. I think she's actually slumming it with Timberlake.
They're still together?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that. Cobb, never seen it with Tommy Lee Jones. The Babe with John Goodman
was an atrocious
movie.
You know what's up there for me is actually, like, it's probably in the top three. I'll bump Major League 2. It's probably The Natural.
See, you're all over the place because you're getting on some of these other movies for being too sappy and
cloying.
And that's all that movie is. They had to legitimately change the ending of the book because they didn't think that it would do well.
Oh,
with,
the best thing would have been if they had kept the original ending of the book. I love things that end on a down note.
I actually thought that one was overrated.
Of
The
course.
Natural.
He's got Wonder Boy or whatever it is there. Glenn Close in the crowd.
I count on America's Sweetheart for a lot of good baseball takes. He was raving a couple of years ago about The Natural. I think it was during COVID, so we watched it one night. And I was like,
whatever.
Joe, I'm not really seeing it here.
How about A League of Their Own?
Oh, you know what? That's got to be up there for me.
I like that one.
That's like the first, that's one of the first movies Alex and I watched together. Rosie
O'Donnell.
Yeah, I'm putting,
mixing it up with Tom Hanks.
Was that a Netflix and chill scenario?
I'm sure there was some chilling that went on. But yeah, I mean, no, League of Their Own's in the top three for me. And I actually think that one's, you know what? Glad you brought that up. Not only is it top three and has sentimental value for me with my relationship with Alex, that is the best Tom Hanks performance. Hanks just plays a total degenerate who's not like Tom Hanks in real life. It's like Tom Hanks is Wario. Like, there's Mario and Wario.
Did you see the one that came
out
a little while ago?
He signs the autograph.
Did you see the one that came out recently about him? He's a guy who lives in Pittsburgh that just keeps trying to kill himself. You ever see that one?
No. What is that called?
Something Otto.
Man called Otto.
A man called Otto.
And he just keeps trying to off himself?
We watched it on Netflix. They run a disclaimer before the movie starts, like, hey,
this is messed up.
This is so disturbing that you might not want to watch it. So I see this disclaimer go by, and I'm like, oh my God, what are we in for? And it still has your lighthearted Tom Hanks-esque. It's like, that is the plot of the movie, but Hanks is still Hanks. Hanks is still acting in classic Hanks form with his mannerisms and cadence and all the things that make Tom Hanks the Tom Hanks character that he plays in every single movie. Like, there's no crying in baseball moments in this movie that is just about suicidal thoughts. We're also missing a couple here,
I think. You got Hardball with Keanu Reeves, G-Baby. Obviously, very sad ending.
Never seen either one of them. Yep. What's Hardball about?
No, Hardball has the character's name is G-Baby.
Never seen it.
Oh, man.
Bad News Bears.
Okay, that's a better one.
Okay, yeah.
The original, of course. Yeah, the remake blows.
Wait, what's Hardball about?
Keanu Reeves is like a little league coach for like a bunch of troubled kids like in a
So it's Bad News Bears all over again.
No, I think it's more serious than Bad News Bears. Oh.
This isn't like
Buttermaker's
old drunk
not in
coach
there. Yeah.
Like just making an ass of himself with a bunch of like misfit kids.
This one's that one's serious. Okay, what else?
Well, I was gonna say Bad News Bears.
Is that it though?
The other one. There's just two that popped into my head.
I think For the Love of the Game's a pretty good movie.
Who's
Costner's thrown a no-hitter for the Tigers. John C. Reilly's his catcher.
It's For Love of the Game, though, not For the Love of the Game. Isn't that the weird thing about it?
Yeah,
it's got a weird title.
I'm looking at the title now, and you're right.
I've never seen the whole thing. I saw it on cable, and I watched the rest of it from whatever point it was in the movie.
You ever see it, Donnie?
I think I saw it once.
Is it literally the story of that one game where he basically just throws a no-no?
Mm-hmm. And then it's really about his touch-and-go relationship with some lady who he met.
Just
her
some
car,
lady?
He was like one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Her car broke down, and he pulled over to help her, and that's how now that I'm talking it out, that movie
stupid.
Stinks. I mean, that beginning to the movie alone makes it a non-starter for me.
You know what I like? You know what I like doing here? Oh, Sam Raimi did that movie because he did Spider-Man and all that stuff.
Jeff texts in Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck. Never seen it.
Same. What was that movie with Matt LeBlanc where there was like the chimp that played baseball? Was that Ed or something like that?
Ed. I'm looking at it right now.
Isn't that a baseball movie?
What if somebody became a fan of a team because they were obsessed with the movie Ed?
Oh, my goodness.
As a kid.
Okay, the IMDb rating. What are the guesses here on the IMDb rating?
It's got to be under 5%. Do they do percents like Rotten Tomatoes?
No, they do out of 10.
3.2.
Under 2.
2.7.
Oh, man. Here's For Love of the Game. In Roger Ebert's review, what did he say? Quote, "The most lugubrious and soppy love story in many a moon, a step backward for director Sam Raimi, and yet another movie in which Kevin Costner plays a character who has all the right window dressing, but is neither juicy nor interesting," end quote.
Million Dollar Arm was okay.
Never saw it.
With the guy from John Hamm.
Yeah. No, I know the movie. Like, I just
about
never saw
it. About the pitchers the Pirates signed from India who were on that reality show.
You give me a boxing movie, right. I'm a sucker for it. I will watch it immediately. You give me almost any other sports movie, and chances are I'm not that interested.
What happened in Trouble with the Curve? What's that movie about?
That's Clint Eastwood.
Is he his old cranky, cantankerous self?
Coming to terms. Isn't it him coming to terms with the fact that he's not much of a scout and that his like health is declining in general? Doesn't he have dementia in it or something? And Amy Adams.
I actually haven't seen that one.
I think Amy Adams is in it. I think it's another just down. Hey, Clint Eastwood, can you make a more morose movie for us here? I mean, Million Dollar Baby is a boxing movie that's not a boxing movie. It's a movie about.
That's a good movie.
It's a movie about freaking euthanasia. That's what it's about.
Ed doesn't even have a Ed doesn't even
Never
have a rating.
No, don't bother
on Rotten Tomatoes.
It doesn't?
No.
Man, who the hell is
I don't know if I searched it wrong.
When did it come out? When did it come out?
1996.
Who was Matt LeBlanc's agent at that point?
John writes in, "You guys are missing the all-time classic Benchwarmers, starring Rob Schneider and David Spade."
The film received
I loved that movie when I was a kid.
Hold on.
I can't lie.
You said you couldn't find it on Rotten Tomatoes? Ed is a 1996 American sports comedy film about a talented baseball pitcher and his friendly ball-playing chimpanzee as the team's mascot. The film received negative reviews from critics with a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not one critic recommended this movie.
I'll give you one I put in my top five that we haven't mentioned yet. Mr. 3000.
Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac goes back with the Brew Crew. He's got to get his 3000th hit. You guys didn't like that one?
I like that one.
Malsey's never seen it.
I'm sorry. I am reading the plot description on Wikipedia of this Matt LeBlanc movie. It sounds like the worst thing I've ever heard.
You know what you should do? You should go home and try to convince Alex to watch it tonight because LeBlanc's in it and she loves Friends so much.
Matt LeBlanc's character's name is Deuce. Deuce saves Ed, but Ed escapes and finds a truck of frosted bananas and does not realize he is stuck inside freezing to death.
You should lie to Alex and say, "Alex, ooh, this new Matt LeBlanc movie just came out. We were talking about it at work. You want to sit down and watch it tonight?" And it's just Ed.
Ed received 4 Razzie Awards for Worst Picture, Worst Screenplay, and Worst Screen Couple for LeBlanc and Ed the Chimpanzee.
I think you guys need to let Dom do top 5 baseball movies on Friday as his power rankings. I won't be here, but I'm just hoping and praying that Ed makes an appearance on
that list.
Is
Harry Callis going to be here? He would put together a whale of a list.
Harry is here on Thursday.
He's a baseball
man. It'd be all Yankees movies. We should make intern Dom.
The pride of the Yankees needs to be on that list.
We should make intern Dom watch Ed and give it a full review.
You should
What about The Fan with Snipes and De Niro?
I've never seen that one.
That one's kind of tense. Like, I like that one because baseball is really secondary to the actual, you know, it's just like a backdrop for everything to happen.
I remember I wanted to rent that movie like at the old Blockbuster with my grandmother like a million years ago, and she like looked at the title and said, "This movie's about a sniper or something, so we can't watch it." Mm-hmm. Are you too young for this? So instead, she made me like rent this movie where Whoopi Goldberg and a dinosaur coach the New York Knicks or something like that. There's something like that.
What?
Yes.
Well, I just had a good suggestion.
There's a movie
too,
where Whoopi Goldberg.
By the way, what's your grandma's takes on this year's NBA Finals? I know she's got takes.
Oh, she hates the Heat.
She's all
Nuggets.
She can't
stand him.
Jokic all the way.
She can't stand him. She hates
Butler
and Spoelstra.
Because isn't she a Knicks fan?
Yeah, she is.
Oh, the Knicks fans hate the Heat.
I just had a good suggestion, and John Football would have been upset if I didn't mention this. This comes from Marty in Lawrenceville. Mm-hmm. Brewster's Millions, Richard Pryor, John Candy.
That's a baseball movie?
It's a little bit of a baseball movie. It's more about Richard Pryor having to spend like $30 million in a month, but he does play baseball at the beginning.
I'm telling you, the more I think about it...
A lot of people saying The Rookie with Dennis Quaid.
It's okay.
Yeah, take it or leave
he
it.
He, like, throws the ball down the street, and he's all depressed that it wasn't hard enough to register on the radar gun, and then, like, he walks past, and after he walks past it, it, like, lights up at 99 or something. Remember that? He doesn't even see it.
Make it known that even though it's not a movie, it's a TV show. Eastbound and Down, I think, would be very high on this list.
It would be number one on this list.
And here's my biggest issue with The Rookie. Look at Dennis Quaid and then look at the meatball who actually was
the
rookie in real life. They made him this clean-cut, like, all-American dude, and in real life, he was just...
They should have had, like, Horatio Sanz play him?
Yes, exactly.
Isn't that your thing? You suggest Horatio Sands for roles he is physically not cut out for?
Well, then we bring up who would play Craig in a 93.7 The Fan movie, and we picked Horatio Sands. Horatio Sands had like a comedy event at Syracuse, and we saw him, and I was super effed up. And I was in the back seat, and he was walking down this alley to go to a bar there, and I go, "Hey, Horatio Sands, F you, man." And he was so ticked. Like, he turned around all excited, like somebody recognized him. And I just go, "F you, man."
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.